Well, hello there, Jonathan Doyle with a weekly podcast, and if you are a regular listener, you'll be saying it is not a weekly podcast at the moment. It's like a fortnightly podcast, but I've been away, been traveling a bit, but really nice to get some messages from many of you saying, when's the next weekly podcast? People have hit me up on Instagram or on Facebook and said, when's the next podcast? Which is really good, because if you were getting no messages or messages like, please don't do another podcast, that would not be good. So really cool that people listening to it, it's useful. It's a lot of fun to do this. It's like knowing that there's people out there that are going to receive from this, and I hope you're one of them today. I just get pumped helping people. It's just when I do coaching calls, I get off them and I feel like, you know, it's so good. I had a long conversation with a friend today about a person that they know that's dealing with like an alcohol addiction, and in no way being judgmental, but I just think life has so many natural highs. There are, once you know how to get them and what amps you, what pumps you, then you can start to look at some of the things that we've been using in life, like food or alcohol or internet or all the different distracting behaviors that I talk about so often, and go, you know, that nature, God, the universe gives us so many things that if we know how to find them can just really give us a great sense of enjoyment and purpose. So, and that's what I get out of doing this. Like, I've finally put my thoughts together with what I'd like to share with you, and it's really cool to do it. I wish you could kind of see me in here in the studio. You see my face and my body, and it's like, yes. I mean, you know, I'm standing here in the studio, and you know, it's not a massive audience, right? It's not like hundreds of people, but it just feels so good to be here. And I really hope you listen carefully, and that you'll get one or two ideas. You know, I'm a maniac for content, right? Like, I definitely have times in my day of silence, complete silence, and meditation and prayer and that sort of stuff. But a lot of the rest of the time, I am constantly just filling myself with really interesting podcasts and just great people and passionate people. You know, I've raced down to the gym yesterday. I've sort of worked really hard, and then I grab about 40 minutes and I jump on the bike, race down the hill. Great little gym that I love going to. And I was listening to a really favorite speaker of mine, a guy called Carl Lentz, who's a pastor at Hillsong Church in New York City. And listening to him just speak, he's funny, passionate, and the way he talks about life, like, I just took some of those ideas. And when I came home last night, I was putting one of my kids to bed, and just really, you know, just some of the things I was saying to her, just encouraging her and just really being grateful for her and telling her what she means to me, just really came from being encouraged by that podcast. So fill yourself with good stuff. Just listen carefully to this podcast, because there can always be something in it that's going to be really useful to you. So just be attuned for those one or two things that you hear that you go, yes, that's really cool. Now, a fair bit to get through. I'm not one for the big opening long introduction telling you what I had for breakfast. Like to jump straight in. Where have I been? Well, many of you would know from Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, other places. I was down in Tasmania, first time I've ever been there, and you know, flew down there to do this amazing ride. So I did a 240-kilometer ride, and in that 240 kilometers, we had 5,000 meters of vertical climbing. So epic hills, really tough day. But two of my brothers came down. Really special experience, and I had an absolute ball. I felt really good on the bike, and before that, interestingly, right, whether you're an athlete or not, the week before I'd been out to do a 210-kilometer ride, and I blew up. And I pulled out. I've never quit a race before, but I was in such a bad state, I actually withdrew. And I had that, you know, walk of shame when you pull out the phone, and I rang Karen, my wife, and I said, you got to come pick me up. And, you know, the other rider's going past, and everyone's like, you okay? You okay? You're like, well, you all stop asking me if I'm okay. Obviously not okay, but I'm fine, okay? So I learned a lot. And the reason I share that with you is that in many ways it was that failure the week before where I actually learned so many things. I didn't drink properly. I wasn't eating properly for the ride. I was unprepared. There's a lot of things I hadn't done properly. I was fit, but I just hadn't actually thought my way through what I needed to do. And I guess what I want to share with you is that it was those mistakes, it was that lack of preparation that really set me up for success in Tasmania. So all I'm sharing there is that so many times when you get something wrong and it doesn't work, so many people who, you know, just kind of blame themselves and they get negative, and, you know, I was like, yeah, I was bummed that I didn't do it, that I didn't finish that first ride, but wow, am I grateful for what I learned? 100%. If I hadn't had that failure, I may not have been able to learn what I was needed, you know, for the week later when I rode this 240k ride. So awesome day, incredible scenery. Really enjoyed it. You know, great physical challenge, great time with my brothers. And what I want to suggest to you about that ride is, you know, just this incredible realization that all of us have within us this incredible capacity. You know, I've posted photos from the ride, and I'll talk to people about it, and everybody's response is like, oh man, 240 kilometers, how long did that take? So it was about 9 hours, you know, 9 hours on the bike. And everyone's like, I can't believe you did that, and that's incredible. I go, well, not really. Like, yeah, it was a stretch, but I mean, I didn't die. I could do it, right? And I'll be honest with you, I'm 40, almost 42 years of age. And you know, I've always kept fit, but what I want you to understand is that I could do this. And if I can do that sort of thing, what could you do that you're not doing? And I just want to say to you, the capacity and the potential that you have in whatever area that's important to you that you are not tapping into at the moment is just so crucial. So just think about it. You know, I was just so lucky to do that ride and to learn that about myself. And what could you do that you're not doing? And linked to that is this awareness I have that so many people are just existing rather than living. You know, when I sort of booked to do that ride and I headed down there, you know, when you're traveling in the airport and you've got all that luggage and you're like tired and you're like, oh, why did I do this? But then you do it and you have the memories and the experiences, and that's living. As opposed to, you know, talking to a friend today, they're talking about one of their friends who's just, you know, drinks every day and sits on the couch and all this stuff, and it's like, that's existing. And your job is to live, right? And with all this sort of stuff, when you've got something that really want to do and that's exciting and meaningful for you, I just want to tell you so clearly that the hardest part is always just getting started. It's that first experience of getting started. So many times we just don't do stuff because that first step. And as a coach, when I'm coaching people, my whole job most of the time is simply to get people on that first step. So if you were working with me as a coach, like, we would work on whatever it is you want to do, and it's always about what's that first step. So always understand the first step will be hard. You know, booking that event or going to that place or having that conversation. People kind of think that if something's important, that, you know, if they're going to do something meaningful, it should be easy if it's in an area that they really care about. But no, it'll often be really hard. So first step, always a harder step. Huge capacity and potential in all of us that we're not tapping. And I just loved that ride. I want to encourage you. What, you know, I've been talking to friends on email this week and they're like, oh man, I said, you know, you should come and do this next ride. And they're like, oh, I could never do that. Of course you could. Like, whatever it is, that, forget cycling, it could be any sporting thing, it could be an artistic thing, it could be a financial or a career thing. You know, the great tragedy is that just so many people are never going to live their capacity and their potential, and I don't want you to be one of them. So, what's next? I wanted to touch on just a last point from the Opinions podcast. If you haven't heard the Opinions podcast, jump on the podcast page at jonathandoyle.co. It's one of the most recent podcasts. I did a podcast on how we deal with, you know, wanting other people to like us, this desire and this concern we have for other people's opinions. There was one point I forgot to mention. It's a really good one. It's the worst thing about doing a podcast is you finish it and you leave the studio and you go, oh, you remember this really important idea that you didn't put in the podcast. So here it is now. It's as we think about our concern about other people liking us and other people's opinions, always remember this really important point when dealing with other people and what you think they might be thinking. And it's this: you can't know what other people are thinking. Let me work with that for a second, because you go, what? Look, seriously. Often when you get really concerned about, am I fitting in? Do people like me? What about other people's opinions? You can get really fixated on, you know, you think you know what they're thinking. And you'll start going, I bet they don't like me. I bet they're thinking, you don't know. Unless you have supernatural powers, you cannot read someone else's mind. And I want you to take this the right way, but the truth is, for most of us, most of the time, lots of people aren't thinking about us at all. You know, we look at someone and they go, I bet they don't like me. I bet they're talking about me. I bet they think I'm stupid. I bet they think I can't. They're not thinking about you. Like, so much of the time, they're just not even thinking about you. So unless the only way you can know is to walk up to someone and go, are you thinking about me? And if so, could you tell me what you're thinking? So just relax, because so much of the time, the concern we have about what other people are thinking about us is irrelevant because we can't know. So just accept that you can't know. And, you know, often when we think we do know, we ascribe the worst meaning. We go, I bet they hate me. I bet they hate me. But they could just as well be thinking, I really like that person. But their face isn't showing it, but that's what they're, who knows? So free yourself from other people's opinions by just realizing that we can't know. And it's just craziness and it'll send you mad trying to figure it out. So don't do that. Now, the major thing I want to share this week is a really powerful idea. It's mega powerful. It's like really transformational. I'm going to put my hand up and say it's not mine. But what I can say is that I've really used it and it's had a big impact on me. It comes from Tony Robbins. You'd all be familiar with his work. And I just love this particular principle that he has. And it's really powerful. You can use it anywhere. And if you begin to master it, and I'm just really starting to work with it more and more, it's really useful. Because let me start from here. So much of the time, we think reality is, this is going to sound not very profound, but reality. We think the way things we see things are the way they really are. And what I'm learning more as I try to grow and teach people is that reality in many ways is quite fluid. Now, don't get me wrong, gravity is real, okay? The sun coming up, that's real. But a whole bunch of other stuff, what things mean, what our relationships mean, what opportunities we have, they're not real in the way that gravity's real. Our perceptions are going to have a huge impact on them. I'm reading an amazing book at the moment, from Benjamin Zander, who's this incredibly famous conductor with the, I think, the Boston Philharmonic. And it's a great book about potential and possibility. And his whole first chapter is on, you know, that you can make up the meaning. That, you know, he's just saying you've got to just choose better meanings about what's happening. And when I read a book from someone of his stature, I was like, that's such an important principle. So here's what Tony Robbins would say is a master system of your experience, which means think about your experience moment to moment. By experience, I mean how you're feeling, how you're encountering the world, what your mood states are, your kind of whole, you know, encounter with the world. And if you can get your head around that, it means just what are you feeling moment to moment? You know, those times when you feel amazing, those times when you feel terrible, what's the difference? And he's going to say there's three key principles. I really like these. They're so powerful. I want you to get these. Really don't. You mustn't finish this podcast without really getting these principles. So there's three components. I'm going to give them to you now. They're state, focus, and language, right? State, focus, and language. So your state is your physiological state. Now I want to give you an example of that. If you've ever followed any sport, and you've seen, you know, it's been a grand final, or there's been a moment when something awesome's happened, you know that feeling when you just jump and clap, and you're just like, yes, and you have hands pump in the air, you're not depressed at that moment. Now, if it's not sport for you, think of something else. Think of like the birth of a child, or walking on a romantic beach with someone. Whatever memory connects you back to a really positive state. You didn't feel down at that point. But if you looked at your state, you would notice your breathing patterns were different, how your body was moving was different. So your state is what I would simply call your physiological state. You know, how you feel. You know how you feel after a great shower, like you've done some exercise, you've got a hot shower, you feel great, or you've had a great meal with somebody. We tend to feel really good at those moments. Why? Because our physiology, our physical body, our breathing, our sort of our hormonal levels, how we're using our physical bodies is all in a really positive state. So that's the first thing. What controls your experience is your state. Second thing is focus, which is simply what you're thinking about. You know, if you're focusing on everything that's going wrong and everything that's terrible, as opposed to what opportunities might exist or how you're going to overcome something, you have a different experience. Now, put those together. If you're in a positive, empowered physiological state and you're focusing on what you want and what's good in life, like gratitude or positive things, then you're going to have a different experience than if you're slumped over and you're breathing in a really shallow way and your voice tone begins to drop and you talk like this and you're like, well, it's just never going to work, is it? I mean, this situation's hopeless. I mean, you can hear that in my voice, right? As opposed to just being totally different, in a different state. So if you think this is just a nice idea, I can promise you it's true. And I, more than just about anyone I know, have had to teach myself this and really live it. My natural disposition is depressive. And everybody go, what? You got motivational podcasts. You empower people. I go, my natural genetic predisposition is depression. My father struggled terribly with depression his whole life. On the other side of my family, there's traditions of anxiety. So if there's anyone I know that's had to work really hard on state physiology and focus, it's me. And I work at it every day. So if you deal with depression or anxiety, be encouraged, because there are tools and there are systems and there are people that can help you create real change, both for yourself, for your family, and for the future. So state, focus, and the last one is language. Okay, language is simply the words we use to describe our experience. Let me give you an example again. If you're talking like this, and you're thinking about how bad the economy really is, and you start saying things to yourself like, oh, it's just hopeless, isn't it? I mean, what's the point? What's the point in working? If you ask yourself a question like, what's the point? Your brain is going to give you, you ask a dumb question, your brain will put its hand up and go, oh, dumb question. Have I got a dumb answer for you? You ask the wrong questions, you will always get bad answers. So, you know, if you're in a different physiological state and you go, right, man, this tax system, this, you know, this economy, it's just, it's really, or it's not what I want. But you know what? No one's responsible for the outcome. I can change this. And you begin to focus on what you can do, not what you can't do. And you begin to describe it differently. And if anyone is listening to this going, oh, man, you're just serious? You think you're just going to be positive and change the language? I'm going, yes, I have lived it. I know it to be true. It's hard, hard work. People think that personal development, personal excellence, peak performance is just like some kind of magic trick. No, it's really hard work. But you've got to want this stuff in your guts, right? You've got to really, in your guts, want to create a better kind of life for yourself. I encounter so many people who are settling and they think their life is normal. They go, oh, this is how it is, right? My relationships are just like this. They're not going to get any better. This is how they are. Well, my body's not going to get any better. And things, this is just normal. What the hell is normal anyway? I mean, is it normal to ride 240 kilometers in a day? And of course it's not. But it's normal because I made it normal. And you can have such a different experience of life if you really want to. By thinking about your state, by thinking about your focus, what you're looking at or not looking at, and your language. So the last thing I want to give you is just really around state. I mean, that's where I tend to do a lot of work now. I need you to understand this. Left to myself, without intervening, I am capable of being a train wreck. If I don't exercise and constantly shift my state and eat in a certain way and breathe in a certain way and move my body in a certain way, I will naturally return to a depressive genetic state. I just will. So I'm changing and growing the more I do this. But I'll give you a great example. I ride all the time. You know that. And it gets me pumped and I get out on a good day like this morning, which is sunny. It was awesome. Rode really hard. Saturday, it was raining. And I normally do my long ride Saturday, 150K, right? And it's like raining. I thought, oh, I was in the office, I was working away, I got up at 4 a.m, I was working away, and it was raining, I thought, oh, it's miserable, and I didn't go. And later, at about 6, 6.30 when the ride starts, I actually saw some other guys heading out, so other people definitely did do it. I was kind of like, oh, you know, and I didn't do it, which is a bit rare for me. But anyway, bad idea. The rest of the day was just a write-off. I got really tired, and once I got tired, my cortisol levels went down. I started eating badly. Bad food kept appearing. Someone else's fault, not mine. And I ate badly, and I felt gross, and I was grumpy, and my state was a mess the whole day. And I got to Sunday, I said, that is not happening again. I don't care if it is blizzards, if there are polar bears roaming the streets, I am riding, I am changing my state every day. And the next day, I went out Sunday morning, did 100K up in the mountains, and I was back by sort of, what, 7:38 in the morning, $1 million. Felt awesome, pumped all day, positive to be around. So you got to change state. Now, you'll rarely feel like it. You are not going to wake up tomorrow and go, oh, yeah, he's right. I really should change my state. I'm really pumped about that. I got to tell you, it's going to be hard. You'll have constant resistance. But all you need to do is the first step. Your brain is often a traitor. Your brain will tell you the most terrible things. Don't listen to it. It'll say things like, oh, you know, you start tomorrow. Another donut's not really that bad. Your brain will say, it's too cold, it's too hot, it's, you know, it's too wet, it's too dry. Your brain is all about self-preservation. I think I've done that in a previous podcast, right? Your brain is only interested in one thing: keeping your butt on the couch for as long as humanly possible. That's all your brain wants to do. Because if your butt's on the couch, your brain goes, whew, we're safe. We are safe now. So remember, your brain's a traitor, and you got to beat that thing and get it to work with you. So the way you do it is simply by taking the first step, and you will really feel like it. You with me on that? You hearing me? It's really important you get that, because if you wait to feel that you're ready to go, then that will happen eventually. Like now when I train or when I change my state, I go, yeah, I know this matters. And I know that the payoff's good. And I know I feel better once it's done. But the hardest road, the longest journey is the drive to the gym. Or the longest journey is putting your training clothes on and walking around the block. The longest journey is jumping in the pool. The longest journey is that first bit. So just break that first bit and you'll change state. Once you change state, then other stuff starts to shift. So remember state, focus, and language. What are you doing with your body? Now, how many people just every night they just slap themselves down in front of television and they're just like their body slumped into a big comfortable chair? I've worked hard all day. Please. Sorry, my day starts at 4 a.m. I got three really young kids that are just highball energy. I definitely have a rest. I mean, I'll definitely chuck on TV occasionally and watch some sport or something I enjoy. But I just got to control that stuff. I'm just not allowing my body. Don't get me wrong. I don't push all the time. I definitely big on rest and recovery. I'm going to talk about that more in a future podcast. But just know that first step is the one that matters. What you do with your body matters. What you're focusing on matters. And the language you use to describe your experience matters. So I'll give you an experiment. Just sometime in the next 24 hours, do something to change your state. Just say, right, I'm going to try Jonathan's experiment. I'm going to do something to change my state. It might be a walk. It might be a run. It might be jumping in a pool. It might be, you know, going and walking up a mountain. It might be going somewhere beautiful. Just do something to change your state and notice what happens. Music's one of the fastest ways to do it. Put your pumping favorite songs on and go for a walk. That's the power, changing state. If you're in a slump right now, if you're ruled by anxiety or depression, one of the tools will be to start looking at how you're using your body, how you're using your breathing, how you're using your physiology, right? End of sermon, whole bunch of stuff there. Here's what I want you to do. As always, share this podcast. Grab the link, flick it to two or three people, grab it on iTunes. The next thing I want you to do is I want you to go to your computer and type in fbjonathan.com. That's FB, one word, www.fbjonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N.com. And that'll take you straight to my Facebook page. So fbjonathan.com. You can also search under jonathandoyle.co, but just do fbjonathan.com. Come to the Facebook page, like the page, and get in touch with me there. Send me a message on Facebook. What would you like me to talk about? Where are you stuck in life? Give me your problems, and I'll jump on this podcast, and we're going to nail those problems for you together. If you're interested in coaching with me one-on-one, send me you can either hit me up on Facebook, or you can hit me through the website at jonathandoyle.co. I take a very small number of clients. I have a lot of other interests and business stuff, and I really love coaching, and I love building those relationships, but I only take a very small number of people. So, hope that's been useful. Post a comment here if you want. Share with people. Come and see me on Facebook. I'm Jonathan Doyle. This has been the Weekly Podcast. Do not waste another minute. Go and change your state. Look at where your focus is. What are you focusing on? And what language are you using to describe your circumstance? Because the only reality I know of is gravity, and everything else is up for grabs. I'm Jonathan Doyle. This has been the Weekly Podcast. I really hope you've enjoyed it, and look forward to speaking with you again next week.